We need to learn how to praise the name of Jesus more than we do. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we want to look at the subject, soul, take thine ease. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Luke chapter 12, we'll begin reading with verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many days. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's pray. Fathers, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, I ask that you would remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Open our understanding that we may grasp your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this man is a picture of the desire that every human has. That desire is something that is put there by God. But so many times we misunderstand it and we try to satisfy that desire by earthly means. But God has placed the desire in our heart to be content, to be secure, to have all the things that we need. Listen to what he says in verse 15 through 17. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? Now I want you to see that his reaction was, what shall I do? How can I satisfy this desire that I have to be secure, to have all that I need, to not have any worries? All of that God put within his heart, but his reaction was, what can I do to satisfy this desire? Now, that's a problem for us. Now, if we follow on down here in this passage, you find that what God starts talking about is fear. Have you noticed that? Fear is the opposite of faith. And it is fear that causes us to be in the flesh. It is fear that causes us to react there and to try to solve the problems ourselves. And so God wants us to deal with our fears so that we do not derail our Christianity. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 through 5, God puts the desire in our heart for satisfaction, for contentment. Listen to what he says. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Now this goes right along with the proclamation that he just has made to us here, that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. We would be way ahead if we would just take that for truth. But instead, God has to warn us, don't set your heart on riches. If you set your heart on riches, it's going to be a problem. He puts it there so that he can satisfy that need. Every need that we have, God is able to satisfy. And he has promised to satisfy. But when we get caught up in trying to satisfy it ourselves, then we get in trouble. In Psalm 23, 1 through 6, God tells us why we have the desire for security. Look what he says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, that's security God's way. God says, this is why you have that desire for security, is because I want to meet that desire. But so many times we miss that, and we go right past it, and we live in fear. Because there is nothing that can satisfy that desire for security but God. When God is our shepherd and he leads us through life, we will have security. Security is a gift from God. Then there is that need in our lives to be social, to have friends, to have a good fellowship with friends. We have that because God wants to be our friend that sticks closer than a brother. Listen to 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanses us from all sin. That's the fulfillment of the desire for a social relationship. You say, well, am I not to have friends on the earth? Friends on the earth come as a result of fellowship with God. True friends on earth can only be true friends when there is a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is the reason we have those desires. So many times we miss that. And we think those desires are just something that we have to fulfill ourselves. We have to try to work it out so that we can be happy, so that we can be content, so that we can be secure. We can have all those things we need so that we can have friends. But you see, as this man has said here in our text, so many times when we feel these desires, instead of bringing those to Jesus, we ask as he did, what shall I do? Listen to what he says here in his design for all these things. Listen to verse 18 through 21 of our text. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know what he's saying? He's saying it won't work. If we get everything that there is to get, it still won't do for us what we need. Because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That wrong philosophy has destroyed a lot of people. A lot of people think that that is the answer. I remember speaking to a group of youth one time, and I said, if I could give you contentment for the rest of your life or $1 million, which would you take? This one little guy just stuck his hand up real quick. He said, I'll take the $1 million. I said, why do you say that? He said, if I had $1 million, I'd be content. You see the belief there? With money, you can solve every problem. That's the philosophy of the world. But it doesn't work that way. All you got to do is find somebody that's got the money and see how content they are. You'll find that they're not. Because that's not where it's at. That's not what does it. But you see, it is the fear, it is the doubt that it'll ever happen unless I do it that keeps us in bondage. Listen to this. 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10 gives us a pretty good rendition of what God thinks of our philosophy of money solving our problems. Listen to what he says. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It doesn't say those who have the money are happy and carefree and everything's going their way. It says they pierced themselves through with many sorrows and snare. You see, that's what you have to look forward to if you're trying to do it all on your own. It's not going to happen. It's not going to work. You have to have those desires satisfied by God, not by your own design. Then there are those who think that they can manipulate their way into contentment. Get everybody to serve me. Make everybody do what I want them to do. Manipulation is a favorite pastime of a lot of people, but it doesn't work. Listen to what God says about that. Proverbs 23, 6 through 7. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You see, you may manipulate people, and you may get them to say what you want them to say, but their heart will never be there. And you'll never really have that peace, that joy, that contentment that you're looking for, just because you can't control what's in a person's heart. What about mirth, happiness, excitement, joy, pleasure? Well, Solomon was used of God. He was rich. He could do pretty much what he wanted to. He was a powerful king. And God used him to try out all this stuff and write it down to save us the trouble. Listen to what he has to say about mirth. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says this. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? It just doesn't work. It doesn't satisfy. When we are pleasure mad, like America is right now, we have a whole lot of discontented people, don't we? People are not happy. They're not joyful. The average household has more than the average household's ever had. But they're not happier. They're not joyful. Pleasure, he says, is mad. Because we run to more and more and more pleasure. But it never satisfies. Now I want you to look at the last part of this text. Because God's going to show us deliverance. How do we deliver ourselves from the problems that this desire leads into many times? Verse 22 through 32 says this. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That last verse is the key. It is what God is saying with all of this, that fear is what robs us of the contentment that God intends for us to have. When we are afraid, we react in the flesh. And God has called us to trust Him. He says, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Trust me. And if we trust God with all of our heart, then we will find that there is a fulfillment in this. Hard times come. And God says to us in those hard times, can you trust me in this? Is this beyond what I can take care of? But the truth is, nothing is too hard for God. Everything that we face, God is in control of. When we understand that, then there's nothing to be afraid of. The Christian life is lived, and God gives us the example of Peter walking on the water, and it helps us understand what he's calling us to do. When Peter stepped out of the boat, it was an act of faith. You see that? His faith enabled him to believe that he could walk on the water because Jesus has said that he could. And so he steps out of the boat, he begins to walk on the water, but then the Bible says he saw the waves. And he saw how the wind was making those waves come up, and he was riding on those waves, and he began to be afraid. And he sunk. You see, fear took away his faith. He saw it as fear. But when God rescued him and took him back to the boat, he said, wherefore did you doubt? Oh, you have little faith. Now you see, his faith was overcome by his fear. You can't be in faith and fear at the same time. So when his faith played out, he sunk. It's the same thing with us. God can take you through any trial that there is if you go through it by faith. But as soon as you begin to fear, you go down. And you begin to react in the flesh. And you begin to struggle in the flesh. And you begin to fail in the flesh because the flesh cannot succeed. But when we just trust God and not lean to our own understanding, then God overcomes every trial. All a trial is God saying to you, can you trust me in this? Can you trust me with this problem? Am I able to solve this problem in your life? Do you trust me? And our answer ought always to be that we trust the Lord with all of our heart and not lean to our own understanding. And if we do that, we will find the contentment that God has put the desire in our heart to have. You see, the things of God, the peace, the joy, the comfort, the full life. Jesus said he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. That comes not as something we earn or deserve. It is a gift. Don't ever forget that. You say, well, I don't deserve for God to take care of me. Well, join the club. None of us do. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. God loves us not because of who we are, but in spite of it. God loves us, and it is his mercy, his love, his goodness that causes us to receive from his hand good things. But the devil would have you believe that you've got to earn that. You've got to be good enough for the Lord to take care of you. That's not true, because none of us are. There is none righteous, no, not one. You see, before we come to Jesus, we are sinners. And we have the sentence of death, and hell looms in the future. I want to tell you something this morning, folks. Hell's real. Don't let the devil fool you into thinking that's just a dream that somebody came up with. It's real. Right now, today, there is people in hell burning, suffering, that have been there for a number of years, and they have no less time to be there than they had when they started. Hell is forever. I can't wrap my mind around that, Brother Frank. Hell is a terrible place. Nobody should ever go to hell. God has made a way to escape hell, and that way is Jesus Christ and faith in the finished work that he did on the cross. Jesus died on the cross, and there on that cross he took every sin that every sinner has ever committed or ever will commit on himself and paid the penalty of the wrath of God in my place, in your place, and in everybody's place, so that he could then be the justifier of all who call upon his name. Nobody should go to hell. Now the devil would have you believe that you don't deserve it, God's salvation. You don't deserve God's forgiveness. And you can't live up to it once you get saved. You know what? That's all true. But the wonderful thing is you don't have to. Jesus paid it all so that we can go free. Jesus then, once he has saved us, desires to give us the abundant life. But so many Christians, just like there are thousands of lost people right around this church that will go to hell when Jesus wants to save them. And by the same token, there are thousands of Christians in the world who never grasp the abundant life because they're afraid that God is mad at them, or they don't deserve it, or some other trick of the devil. And the abundant life is right there, just like salvation is. Now we can think about lost people and we say, why would anybody not receive Christ as Savior? Why would they do that? But God one day is going to say to us, why did you live your life as a Christian with all the promises of the abundant life, having all your needs met, having complete contentment and peace and satisfaction? Why did you miss out on that? It's the same thing. We see the one because we have received Christ as our Savior. But so many Christians have never lived the abundant life. They don't know what they're missing. But next to being saved, it's the most important thing you'll ever do, is to commit your life to Jesus wholly and completely and enjoy the goodness. Did you know there's nothing that can cause you to fear if you trust the Lord with all your heart? You say, well, what about death? Death's going to be a promotion. See, when I die, I don't have to go to hell. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And whenever, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so, we don't have to fear that. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, don't fear man who can only destroy your body. Fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You see, we need to learn how to trust the Lord and receive the gift. Listen to what James 1:17 says. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's the gift. You see, you don't earn anything. You don't deserve anything. Neither do I. But as a gift, God has given us not only eternal life, but the abundant life while we're on this earth. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place, Brother Doug. Heaven's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a place where when we get there, we won't ever want to leave. But God gave us that freely, didn't he? Why do we think we got to earn the abundant life down here? It's a gift too. If we ever have the abundant life, we will receive it by faith as a gift. We have a guarantee. God's going to take care of us. Listen to Philippians 4:19. If you've never memorized any verse in the Bible, you ought to memorize this. This is what he says. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Look at that. My God shall supply all your needs, not according to what you deserve, not according to what you think he will, but according to his riches and glory. And he's got plenty of riches and glory. He can take care of our little problems. Now I want to say something right here. You will never have a hardship because God doesn't have a way to get you out of it. You only have a hardship because God knows you need to go through that to stretch your faith. It's the only reason. And you will never be beyond what God can get you out of. I like what Paul said. He said, I have been cast down, but I've never been forsaken. To be cast down means that I'm beyond any hope apart from God. Somebody has to rescue the person who is cast down. And Paul said, I've been there, but I've never been forsaken. God can always deliver his people, and he will. He promises that. And we have grace overcome our fear. You know, even the faith that we need, we cannot produce ourselves. We have to have grace. Listen to what he says here. This is an important passage. Titus 2:11-14 says this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now you see, it takes God's grace to have the faith to trust God. You say, well, how do we go about getting that grace? It's there. You see, it's kind of like power steering. You ever tried to drive a car that had power steering when the motor wasn't on? It takes power to steer it. But when the power's there, you can drive it with one little finger. That's the way grace is. You turn the wheel, God does the rest. You determine in your heart that Jesus is trustworthy. And you trust him. And then the grace of God comes in with abundant grace, with abundant faith. And you can stay that course. Because God's grace is there. It teaches us to live godly. You can't live godly on your own. You have to have grace. And that grace is there for us. We just have to trust God and know that he is trustworthy. And as we trust God, that he enables us to live our life totally and completely in his power. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something. That's a mistake. It is a dreadful thing because you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Tomorrow, you may leave this world. Life is short down here. And death sometimes comes suddenly without warning. But hell is waiting. And it's ready for you. And there is nothing that can rescue you. Jesus said, when people die and they stand before him and they see hell, then they're going to start trying to find some way to satisfy him and let them into heaven. And they'll start saying, Lord, we did a lot of good. Well, I went to church. I prophesied in your name. I taught Sunday school. I got baptized. I did all these things. But he said, I'll say to them, depart from me, you that work iniquity, for I never knew you. You say, well, how would I make Jesus know me? By putting your trust in his son. Jesus said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you got to do it while you're still down here. You put it off and you put it off and you put it off. And then one day, you're gone. Maybe you are saved, but you're not living the abundant life. You worry and you fret and you fear. God wants you to start living by faith. Start trusting with all your heart. And if you do that, you will find that that's where it's at, Brother Christian. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the soul as near as hell. Lord, if you're dealing with somebody's heart this morning, I pray that you would convict them of their sin, that they might see their need of a Savior. Lord, I pray that you guide us in all that we do. Cause us to live by faith. In Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.